We're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit this morning, the fruit of the Spirit, and hopefully today you will feel encouraged when we're done. You know, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. You know, the word fruit here is singular. Notice that, the fruit of the Spirit, not plural. It's derived from a Greek word meaning plucked fruit, meaning that it is not on the vine growing, but that it is plucked and ready to consume, ready to use. Webster's defines fruit as any natural, useful yield of a plant, you know, seed of a plant, the sweet fruit of certain trees and vines, as a peach or pear or grape. It also says it's a result or a consequence of an action, the fruit of an action, fruit of a consequence. And so the thesaurus also gives the same one kind of thoughts: product, yield, harvest, consequence, outgrowth. So think about it this way: the fruit of the Spirit would be harvested fruit that is already there and ready to use, and would be a consequence or result of having the Holy Spirit in you. I think that's pretty cool to think about that. So what is the fruit? Well, remember we said it was singular. How can something be singular with so many words? Well, think about an apple. It is sweet, it is tart, it is red, it is green, it is round, it has skin, it has seeds, it has a stem. These are characteristics of an apple. And in the Bible, we see many examples of external signs of the Holy Spirit leading, external characteristic traits. One of them we see is miracles. But, you know, miracles can be performed by believers and non-believers. A great example of this was in Moses, where Pharaoh's wizards mimicked the miracles of Moses. We also seen in the verse where they come talk with Jesus, and Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we done many wonderful works in your name? These are outward signs, so to speak, of miracles, you could say. But Jesus says, but then I declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice evil. So miracles are external signs. However, the fruit of the Holy Spirit would be an internal sign. And I don't believe this can be mimicked. The fruit of the Spirit is what we have in us when we accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. How do we know this? Well, the Spirit is the third part of the Godhead. It is a major part of our salvation. It seals us for all eternity. In 1 Corinthians, we see that for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that convicted us of our sin and need of salvation through believing in Christ as Savior. It is the Holy Spirit that renews us when we are saved. In John 3:5, it says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And born of the water is being born in the flesh. We use the phrase, the water broke, when talking about the birthing process. This is being born in the flesh. We know this is what he's talking about because the very next verse he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So this water birth is talking about a fleshly birth, the water breaking, and then of the Spirit. So it must be born once with the flesh and then born again into the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Another scripture verse that talks about the Holy Spirit renewing us is in Titus. Titus says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I love that word abundantly. It's one of my favorite words in the Bible. It literally means more than you can handle. Abundant, much more than what is there. And so when we think about he poured out on us abundantly Jesus Christ, more than we can handle. We already have more than we need and can handle of Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool. So according to the mercy of God, he saved us and cleansed us from our sins internally and eternally by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit has a vital role in sanctifying us when we're saved. We see this in Romans 15:16. It says, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offerings of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, set apart by the Holy Spirit. All three parts have a part in the sanctification of our soul, but the Holy Spirit is the active part of the sanctification that we experience here on earth. So without going too deep in the study of the Holy Spirit, here's a summation. The Holy Spirit convicts us to salvation, baptizes us eternally to renew our soul, dwells in us, indwells in us, and seals us internally and eternally. We have the Holy Spirit in us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So based on our definition of fruit earlier that we talked about, we would also have the fruit of or consequence of Him being there. These traits or characteristics of the Spirit do not flow from our own self, but they flow from God, an outpouring of that abundant gift of Christ in us, the fruit of the Spirit abundantly in us, more than we can handle. Paul says that they are to be regarded as the proper result of the Spirit's operations on the soul. So when left to do what it's supposed to do, the Holy Spirit begins to show out the characteristics of Christ to others around us. What are those characteristic traits that will show out of us when the Spirit is allowed to move in our lives? Well, it's the fruit of the Spirit, right? The first characteristic we see of the fruit of the Spirit is love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love, affection, benevolence, charity, love in action, to love in a social or a moral sense, love towards God and to others. Probably love towards others as intended, since the fruit of the Spirit is placed in context with the vices before in 19 through 21 in Galatians 5, which lead to strife among the people. So when we talk about love, this is the opposite of what they were showing: adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and my favorite, carousing. In a general sense, love, benevolence, goodwill, we think of in theology, it includes a supreme love to God, from God. It means the love and kindness that springs from the natural relations of the people who love you. And you're loved by God, so His love will flow out of you, a fruit, a consequence of His love placed in you. The next characteristic of fruit is the Spirit. Of the Spirit is joy. Cheerfulness with a calm delight, gladness. I always like this thought of being cheerful, but not cheerful, but cheerful, full of cheer, right? Calmly happy, well off, to have joy in the love of God in our walk in service of grace, our duties of the faith, in trials and the hope of heaven. This joy of the love of God is just in as it comes out of us. This is probably one of my areas where I struggle with, not because it's not in me, but because I allow, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, I allow more myself to show out than Christ. And so joy is there in spite of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And so there should be a lot of joy going on right now in spite of all this craziness we're living in today. The next characteristic of the fruit of Spirit is peace. To join peace through quietness or rest. Right? As a result of reconciliation with God, we are reconciled to God, so there should be peace in our heart, peace in our soul. As the book of Romans tells us, we have been justified by faith, so we have peace with God through Christ. Peace with God. The next characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit is patience, long-suffering or fortitude. Patience while afflicted or when we have a trial or when we're injured by others. The patience of the Father who created us. Pretty cool. The next characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, usefulness, moral excellence, kindness, useful in manner or morals as opposed to a harsh, crabby, crooked temper. It's an attribute or a trait to be pleased. It's a mildness of temper, calmness of the Spirit, an unruffled disposition, and a disposition to treat all with politeness. Salvation should make no one crabby or sour. It should sweeten the temper, correct an irritable disposition, make the heart kind. So when Holy Spirit comes in us, we should have a little bit more kindness in us. This is true politeness, a kind of politeness which can be better learned in the school of Christ than in the public schools, and by the study of the New Testament rather than the study of man. Next characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, virtue, benevolence, good benefit, good thing, an attitude to do good to others. The idea that a Christian should be a good person, but not in acts of deeds or good things, but an outflowing of the goodness of Christ that is in us. The next characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit is faith, moral conviction of a religious truth or a truthfulness of God or a religious teacher, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, a faith in him, assurance to believe or to have a belief. Not just to have faith, but also be someone who is faithful, full of faith, a man who is faithful to his word and promises, a man who can be trusted or confided in, faithful as a man, faithful as a neighbor, friend, father, husband, son, wife, daughter. He is faithful. She is faithful to his contracts, faithful to his promises. Having faith and faithfulness are combined in the Spirit. God is always faithful. I said that sometimes people say, God is good all the time. I like to say, God is faithful all the time. And all the time, God is faithful. Next characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit is meekness, humility, gentle, humble. Meekness is patience in the reception of injuries. When we are injured, when we are hurt, we don't come back with meanness or we're not coming back with saying we're surrendering our rights or even being a coward. That's not meekness. But it is opposite of a sudden anger or malice. We can be right and we can stand up for ourselves in a meek way. We don't have to come back with anger or malice. Meekness is the receiving of injuries with a belief that God will vindicate us or that God will make it right or somehow it will be okay through God. That's meekness. And yes, we can still stand up for our rights. We can still say, this is wrong. You cannot treat me this way. But we have to be meek about it. We have to be kind about it. Meekness produces peace. It's a proof of true greatness. It comes from a heart too great to be moved by the insults and injuries of others. He that is constantly ruffled and allows every insult or injury to throw him off his guard is at the mercy of every person that chooses to disturb him. Think about that. They control you when you don't have meekness. The next characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, temperance. It means having strength in our self-control over the flesh. We have dominion over all evil through the power of the Holy Spirit. The influence of the Holy Spirit on the heart makes a man moderate in his pleasures of the flesh and his desires. It teaches him to restrain his desires, to govern himself, that self-control to say, no, I'm not going to say that when I should. I wish I could say that, but I shouldn't. So I'm not going to say it. That's self-control. I'm not going to respond to that in that way. That's self-control. I want something, but I'm not going to go get it because it's not good for me. That's self-control. And then it ends with, against such there is no law. Now, it's interesting to think about that. These are things that the law is not connected to. Really, the law is not telling us to be this way, but also the law doesn't say not to be this way. This is not an action of the Holy Spirit through Moses' law, the Old Covenant. This is a result or a fruit, a consequence of the new covenant of Christ with the Holy Spirit living in us. These things are what makes us truly free, free from condemning sentence of the law and free in the service of God. Some people begin to ask a good question when we read these. They may ask about the characteristics of the Holy Spirit today. They say, why do some believers not manifest these traits? Why do we see a struggle with these things in my life? And I guess this is where we kind of, I'm flipping around there. Sorry about that. So people start thinking about, why do certain people that have the Holy Spirit in them do not show the Holy Spirit in them? Why do I struggle in my own life because of this? And these are great questions. And so maybe this is where we kind of come into a place this morning where you guys can interact a little bit here. Why do some believers not manifest these traits? Why do I struggle or you struggle with these things in my life? Why do we struggle with love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control? If these things are in us, why do we struggle with them? What are your thoughts on these questions? Why do some believers not manifest these traits of the Holy Spirit? Why do I struggle with these things in my life? And maybe this is where we can kind of jump on here and I can look over at your comments and see if there's anything there. You guys, if y'all are have a thought about that, go ahead and put it on there. And so when we think about what is going on, why do some believers show these things and others don't? What's the thought on that? What do you think in your life? What do you struggle with that you say, well, the reason why I don't have faith is because of this, or why don't I have self-control is because of these things? Anyone got any thoughts there? I'd love to just kind of hear what you have there. And I am about 30 seconds ahead of you. So, Lisa, I love that. Simple. We are humans. That's exactly right. We are human. And it is simple, but it's not simple, isn't it? You know, it seemed to be not as simple as just what we're thinking here. I think sometimes we act and then it becomes habit. Oh, that's so true. We have habits of the flesh that we have. Satan tries to cause confusion in our minds, and that's exactly right. Satan tries to, and it really is allowing Satan to have that ability to do it. When Satan is trying to and trying hard, and we give him that ability, then he controls it. That's what John says. Even though we are Christian, we still have the carnal nature. We must allow the Spirit to rule in our hearts and minds. You know, that's partly true, John. The Bible defines or kind of separates nature and habits. Our nature is Christ. We don't have a carnal nature anymore. Our nature is the Holy Spirit in us. But we do have the flesh. We do have our habits, as Cindy said, those habits that are in us, we forget about. We sometimes lose our self-control because our habits. Daggy put on here, out of hurt. That is so true. So really, when we start thinking about those things and we start thinking about the answer, we kind of talked about this a little bit just now, but early in the lesson, I said, so when let's do what it's supposed to do, the Holy Spirit begins to show out the characteristics of Christ to others around us. And that's the key. When the Holy Spirit is allowed to do what it's supposed to do, we do not allow the Holy Spirit to work in life. Usually we don't allow him to move because we have our own habits. We have our own patterns of flesh. We have our own desires to control most of what we do daily. Some people hate to give up control. Some people hate to lose control. And so we kind of hold on to those things. And so if we hold on to those things in our heart and in our lives, the Holy Spirit can't do what it's supposed to do. And I struggle with this myself. I understand this is not something that's easy, but it is kind of encouraging, though, to think about it, that the Holy Spirit's there. These fruit characteristics are in us. It's already there. It's not something we have to pray for. God, please give me joy. God, please give me patience, right? Self-control. Those things are already there. It is God, allow me to let you live out of my life. God, allow me to move out of the way. God, help me fix my habits. God, and a habit can be just when I'm habitually cranky. That's a habit, right? We have a habit of being cranky. So sometimes we just have to ask God. So the key of all of this is allow Christ to move through us. If these traits are not seen in our lives, it's because Christ has been hindered. The Holy Spirit has been hindered. So be challenged today, church, and allow Christ to reign in all parts of your life. Allow Christ to move in all parts of your life today. Let me pray with you this morning. And before we go, and it's been good to kind of get together and kind of connect and hope you all have enjoyed this morning. Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much for your goodness, your love, your mercy. Thank you for these, the characteristic traits of you. These traits are in us. God, that you would just allow us as a church to understand that, to believe that, to trust in that, to allow you to move in our lives, to allow you to reign in our lives in every aspect. For us to let go of the habits, let go of the past, and let go of the things that hold us back, and truly just open those things up, not allow Satan to mess with our minds, not allow the habits of our life to control us. but allowing Satan to know that you're reigning and you're ruling. For us to keep this in our mind and the heart, so our new habits become what's important, and the new habits are you, that we trust in you, we put our faith in you. And God, help us with that as a church. God, be with each and every one that's on here. Be with those that will be watching later, God, that you know who they are. You know what their needs are. And God, we just want to minister to them as best we can through this crazy time. I pray for our country. I pray for our city. I pray for our leaders. God, they are struggling with this. This is all new. God, we just give them grace and love them through it. God, help our mayor as he's struggling right now and people are attacking him right now. Pray for our president. People are attacking him right now. These are decisions that are just difficult to make. And God, we just want to encourage them as best we can. Be with our church, God. We are still alive, and we know it because you're alive in us. We give you praise for who you are in your precious name. Amen. Well, church, I hope you have a great day today, and I hope that you are encouraged by all that's gone on this morning. And I hope you're encouraged by each other, and be well. And if you need anything, let us know. Reach out to us. Reach out to each other, and keep connected. Love y'all. Bye.